Today, I'm joined by Sanjay Poonen, CEO and President of Cohesity, a company that's just completed a transformative acquisition of Veritas and is also leading the charge in cyber resilience, data security, and AI-driven innovation. So together, we'll explore today how Cohesity is redefining what data protection means, what it means in a world where cyber attacks and AI are not only converging, they're colliding, and also why Cohesity's new platform is setting the pace for secure real-time AI on backup data. But enough from me. It's time for me to officially introduce you to today's guest. So thank you for joining me on the podcast today. Can you tell everyone listening a little about who you are and what you do?
My name is Sanjay Poonen. I am CEO and President of Cohesity. We are the market share leader in data protection, data security, and cyber resilience solutions.
Well, over the last 10 years, I've previously spoken with Steve Gruel and James Blake from Cohesity on the podcast, but today's the day I get to talk with your good self face to face. And there have been so many big changes over the last 5 years and indeed decades. So can you tell me a little bit more about the historical evolution of Cohesity as a business? Because there's been so many big changes, hasn't there?
Yeah, I've been in the company now 2.5 years. In August, it'll be 3 years. I, prior to that, was COO of VMware, and prior to that, I was president of SAP. And this company's got an incredible background. The founder and his team, Mohit and Sunil Mulchandani, and some of the key people who were here at the time, built the world's first zero trust, you know, cyber resilience platform that was optimized for speed of recovery of data. And it was a software-defined file system. I watched its success from VMware and was amazed at the customer impact they were having, and many, many customers who were replacing legacy solutions in traditional backup recovery. And the tech was probably the best in the industry. And that company continued doing really well, you know, got to a few thousand customers, a good amount of growth. And then in 2022, when the board called me to be CEO, I felt that it was an opportunity to take this company. When I joined the company, it was about, you know, $300 million, a little over $300 million in revenue, growing but not profitable as yet. And we were able to continue that growth. Last year, we were about, you know, $550 million odd in revenue, growing still reasonably well. And we'd gotten better on the profitable front, and we were able to engineer this deal that really puts us now in a different league. We're now in the acquisition of the net backup business out of Veritas. So we acquired that business, left some of the other business of Veritas behind, and now the combination of this merged company is a much bigger company that's, you know, kind of number one in the space, you know, approaching a $2 billion run rate, and is a very both profitable growth company with 13,000 customers, and has the who's who of customers who in every sector, financial services, public sector, telco, technology, healthcare. So it's a very exciting, and that's probably the most important news that kind of closed in December. We're 120 days in that journey. I couldn't be more excited about the new Cohesity. And we bring, you know, we were about 2,000 employees. We bring alongside into this another 3,500 odd employees, and of course, many new ones too. And this now new organization that's the market share leader in this space is really focused on, you know, certainly very engaged employees. That's our most important asset, our employees, but then innovating the best product in the category. But at the core of this is a company that prides itself in most incredible innovation, and then obsessing with customers, keeping these customers extremely happy.
Well, I'm here today as part of the IT Press Tour, and one member of the IT Press Tour who sadly can't be here is Chris Meller. And I recently read one of his articles that talked about how Cohesity is moving beyond data protection and cyber resilience by building this real-time data access and management facility alongside your data protection access pipelines, essentially allowing it to bring information from both live and backed up data to Gen AI models. And there's a lot of hype around Gen AI models, but can you tell me a little bit more about this and why you're so excited about it?
Yeah, so when I got here, I mean, just got to back up a second. My background has been around analytics of data and sort of security in general. Right? I've, most of my last 15 years in the work at VMware was around security. And then most of my work at SAP was around analytics. So I came in here with a perspective that we had a significant opportunity at the junction of security and AI of data. So I had a perspective on that, but it wasn't clear exactly what it is. The security part we talked about at length. Cyber resilience is kind of the key word there. But if you could use this vast amount of data to get insights into it, because we back it up, we see what it is, we know what it is, and we have hundreds of exabytes of the world's data now that we protect in this combined Cohesion Veritas. So when ChatGPT and OpenAI and these things all came up, I actually went up to Microsoft, spent some time with Satya Nadella, whom I've known for years, and said, what if we could, you know, use OpenAI or ChatGPT on our backup data? And he opened my eyes to this technique called retrieval augmented generation, codenamed RAG. And we came back and studied that, and the team here built the world's first RAG capability to on top of backup data. We started working not just with Microsoft and AWS and Google, but also NVIDIA. And NVIDIA chose to invest in us. We just had an all hands this morning where Jensen spoke to us. It was video recorded, but spoke to the entire company about his excitement in the category. And Jensen is the most respected name in AI in the world right now. So we're very proud that NVIDIA is an investor in the company, that NVIDIA is working with us. I feel like if we can build on top of this foundation stone of what Gaia is, and the use case of Gaia is actually pretty interesting. So if you have a lot of documents, that's the one thing that everyone can relate to, right? Imagine you have 200 million PDF files in your backup, and they're all contracts you've had with vendors over the 10 years you've been around at some company. Maybe it's a bank or a retail, whatever industry you're in. Everyone has contracts. If you could search all those documents for all the economic terms you've given those vendors, discount percentages, length of the term, the contract, anything else, that's what generative AI tools are good at. It can search and summarize. But to do it on backup data, you have to typically retrieve the data, rehydrate it, and then write a query in it. What if you could do that directly on top of that data? That's what we built with Gaia. It's the world's first retrieval augmented generation on top of backup. We patented the idea because we were the first to do it. And now it's got a head start. And we're actually starting to see interest from that, not just in the cloud, that's where we started, but also on-prem. A lot of the European customers, because of, you know, countries becoming a little bit more protectionist, maybe nationalistic, whatever have you, are looking for their own sovereign clouds. And we now play into that now with this product Gaia that could also be run on prem. We announced that at NVIDIA's GTC. So I'm actually equally excited about the security opportunity around data and the AI opportunity around data.
And you mentioned the call with Jensen today. And as you said, he is the most respected guy in AI at the moment. Tell me more about the background of the investment from NVIDIA and the evolution of that relationship and strategic partnership.
I'm very fortunate to know Jensen for many years. When I was at VMware, we built a very strong partnership with him because he was keen to see his GPUs underlay the business I ran, the virtual desktops. So when I got here, I'd been looking for a way by which, you know, we could work with them. You know, back up for a second, when I was thinking about what to do next, as a mentor and friend to me, Jensen had said, hey, you've been at a big company, SAP, VMware, you'd known me. You should think about taking a small company and trying to make it big. And I sort of looked at it and said, okay, the Cohesity opportunity, $300 million revenue opportunity to potentially make this a multi-billion dollar franchise. Let's go do it. And when this AI came, like one of the first people I want to call was, but we didn't have like exactly the click of what we could do with them. But the moment he got that we were doing retrieval augmented generation on top of backup data, he said, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to build that RAG application on top of the NVIDIA Enterprise AI software platform. So NVIDIA now has not just a GPU stack, but a whole software layer with CUDA and all that good stuff. They have an enterprise AI that has, you know, NIM. It's a set of, you know, retrievers, whole bunch of software that makes it easier for us to build RAG applications on top of their platform. Okay. And we're like, hey, Will and Jason, they said, and I asked him at the same time, I'd love for you to be involved in our success. Would you want to invest in the company? He said, gladly. So they're on our board of observers, and we're not Jensen himself, but one of his nominees. And we touch base with him. You know, I have my call tomorrow with the Jensen sponsor on the product side. We feel like they're looking out for the successful use cases of our stuff. And, you know, kind of they feel like if we could take the story of how AI and these agents that could be, I mean, their vision is for agents to be everywhere, obviously powered on top of their GPUs. That's how they get the business out of it. But if we had a Cohesity agent that's searching and mining the data that we back up and showing up results to customers, that'd be incredibly valuable. Or an AI agent that could help navigate a backup or a data security workflow. That could be extremely valuable. And all of that we're going to build on top of their platform. So I'm personally excited about the opportunity there. And You know, we've sought to build this company on the shoulders of other great ecosystem players. I mean, the cloud players, AWS and Google, are also investors in our company. The on-prem players, other than NVIDIA, IBM, HP, Cisco, so we work closely with them. And then many of the security players. Google is going to become a more and more important security player because they not just have Mandiant, but they are going to acquire Wiz.
Yeah.
They're key partners of ours. So I'm pretty bullish on, you know, what the possibility of both security and AI for our space could look in the next few years.
And something else we've got to talk about as well, of course, is the acquisition of Veritas. Tell me more about the strategic thinking behind that. And ultimately, for any customers that are listening, additional customer value, solution capabilities that this partnership can bring to.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a thesis that we had that we were number seven, they were number two. The market's got 50 players. It's too fragmented,
yeah.
Right? And if we could combine forces, we both collectively go to number one. We call the new company named Cohesity. We felt that would give sort of the modernness of the new brand to it. But the cultures are very similar. We both, you know, had employees that either coming from either side. We, you know, the red side was Veritas, the green side was Cohesity, who had a very similar view of data and a very customer-centric view and had these sort of reputation of speed and scale for the reasons we typically want. That backup Veritas's flagship product had built a product that we'd call the best disaggregated backup product. It takes backup in its glory and all of its features and writes the data to another storage appliance, for example, data domain or their own file system. Cohesity had taken a more hyper-converged integrated approach to this where they had the entire platform being to be cyber designed zero trust. We invented that category, but then the backup application was highly integrated into the one as opposed to having something disaggregated. And the managed experience was extremely easy to use, beautiful, sort of, you know, like an iPhone. So now when we came together, the actual product roadmap, and I had a chance today to brief you folks in the press about that, you know, in more detail. And by the way, there's a 5-minute video that will be published this week about the details of that roadmap. It's called Inside the Innovation Engine of Cohesity and Veritas. You'll get an inside look in 5 minutes of how we're planning some of the innovations. That's a must watch, must listen to everybody interested in the space. The goal is exactly what you said. For these Veritas Net Backup customers, there is a risk-free innovation path that gives them a path to the next-gen capability seamlessly. And it's going to be so much more complicated to leave them. So we built a little bit of a nice, good bridge to the future. Okay. And vice versa to the Cohesity customers, there's all these connectors that NetBackup had, 1,100 of them, that would have taken us forever to build. We have that engineering team and that IP now that can be plugged into the Cohesity platform. And then I'm repurposing many of our engineers to build security and AI apps that are the next generation of where this world is going with a dynamic group of people. Now, all of this will play itself out. It's not going to be done overnight, but over the next quarters and over the next several quarters, months and quarters, we're moving very fast. Like our first set of products, we announced a product at RSA called Recovery Agent. It's being built within 6 months. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking about 6-month style innovation. Okay. We showed, for example, at our all hands meeting today, the first demos of NetBackup writing to our file system through a supersonic API called OSD. We showed a demo. It was still a little crude, but it was good. I mean, it's going to ship in September, in the fall, but I was very excited to see demos make it really real. So the innovation engine is really live here. And that 5-minute video that I'd encourage all your listeners to watch is a good 5-minute summary to every one of the 9,000 customers in NetBackup as to how they can move along with us into the next generation world in a risk-free fashion. NetBackup will continue to live forever, but right to our platform. If they want to move to the sort of more iPhone-like experience that's more unified, that the data protect Cohesity product is, that'll be so easy button, push button, and we'll make it commercially also very attractive, right? We want you to go from one to the other. You know, think about NetBackup like the world's best Windows PC that's got a lot of functionality. Cohesity is more of an iPhone-ish experience. We want to move from the other. We'll make all of those workflows seamless to you because we have the code base of both products.
Yeah.
Right? You don't know, but other companies are going to make it very disruptive to you to migrate off, and we can make it seamless to you. So you get innovation and a risk-free approach to migrate whenever you want to. And if you don't want to, it's totally okay too. We have no kind of like, you know, plans to stop investing in that backup. So for those customers who are looking, your colleagues in the press put it very well, the NetBackup customers were looking for innovation to go to next gen. They have that now. Okay. And in the past, how would Cohesity have helped those customers try to compete with them to say replace them? No, you don't need to. Now we'll help you evolve into it. It's a little bit like, you know, you can just get on the escalator and it takes you to the next floor. So we're going to kind of make this very easy for those customers. Now, for a net new customer, you don't need to worry about any of this kind of this decision tree or one or the other. You just kind of go the way we were going at Cohesity before. Here is the next-gen product. It's a richer product now because there's all these connectors. It's a cyber resilience product. We're doing all this incredible stuff in AI with NVIDIA. It's as if the story before we did this acquisition. So I'm personally excited about it. It's, you know, we get the benefit of speed and scale. And now for me as CEO, I've got to make this, you know, there was 2,000 people who came from Heritage Green, about 3,500 people who came to Heritage Red. I got to get this 5,500-person organization excited about the future. And I'm no stranger to M&A deals. I've done several of them in my past at SAP and VMware. You just stay humble and hungry. And every quarter, you learn how you can do it better, right? And the good news is, you know, we're now a profitable company, so we're not in any hurry to get to, you know, some goal next month. But over multiple quarters, we can believe we can create an iconic company that could be not just $2 billion. That's our near-term goal. But $5 billion is kind of the goal of what we think, where we think we can take this company, which should be, I mean, there's nobody in our space that's even got to $2 billion. We're the first company to kind of be in the vicinity of $2 billion. And I think we could be the first company to get to $5
billion. I love that line.
In revenue.
Yeah, and I love the line you'd stay humble, stay hungry. And it's so important. And when you're looking at M&A deals, I think uniting internal teams from different sides and then uniting customers from different sides, incredibly tricky balance to achieve. But so I will add that 5-minute video just to send that message across. And any other message to customers or employees on either side? Well, what's the core message that you're delivering to get excited about the future?
I have my message to employees. I did that today. We had a company town hall. We did it once a quarter. And then I have monthly videos I share internally. And today I have a very simple message, right? Listen, it starts with engaged employees. Mm-hmm. You can build great products and you can serve customers, but I want our employees engaged. Mm-hmm. And I want them, listen, there will always be concerns people have. You try to get as many of our 5,500 plus employees happy, but you know, some people are going to be always having some issues, but you want to make sure that they're engaged and that we're listening to them. We're trying the best to make this the best possible place they could work at and make this a beautiful, beautiful work experience. Then the two other engines, now these are a little bit more customer centric messages, is we want to innovate. We're a product company at heart. So everything we do, whether it's, you know, data protection or security or insights, needs to be the best in its category by a factor of 5 or 10x. How did Mohit and Sunil and the key people who founded this company drive innovation? Fastest cyber recovery of that platform. We got to continue that 12 years later. Yeah. How did Veritas start this, you know, multiple decades ago, 30 plus years ago? The best backup product with numerous connectors. We got to continue that tradition, right? Heritage is a good thing. And that product innovation is the first thing, but just as important as customer obsession. So at the company hall, town hall meeting today, we peppered the entire meeting with some customer videos. And one of the customers said, what I love about this company is that customer obsession. So me saying that is one thing, but having the customer say, what I like about the new Cohesity is that's customer obsession, so gratifying. Because that's what we want. We want to be a company that's innovating like crazy. And of course, employees that engage, that are innovating like crazy and are customer obsessed. If you do that, you know, I call those the two engines of the plane. You do that, the plane's going to go a long way.
And you mentioned you're a product company at heart there. And there are so many exciting tech trends at the moment. You must be following so many of these and setting off all kinds of light bulb moments right across every department. What tech trends excite you at the moment? What makes you want to jump out of bed in the morning when you see this stuff?
I think it's like the two things that I feel so privileged that we're at the center of, security and AI. Yeah. You know, I mean, I spent my years at SAP around analytics and AI, and it's just, I feel like this entire aspect of Gen AI and what's happening at NVIDIA and other places is such an incredible innovation of stuff. And whenever I talk to many of the CEOs and folks I know, it's a tremendous privilege to hear how they think about AI. I learn a lot from those use cases. And the other aspect is cybersecurity. You know, we have Kevin Mandy on our board. He's one of the best cyber fighters in the world. And when I talk to him about what he sees in the threat landscape, I always learn so much. So what we try to do here, and I try to exemplify that in my own personal walk, is kind of find people who are smarter than you on a particular topic. Okay. Part of the reason I wanted the employees to hear from Jensen was he knows a ton more about AI than I do. Yes. Let's ask his opinion. Kevin Mandia speaks regularly. He's on our board about security. So if I pick these two as examples, right, the more we can surround ourselves with people who are the best in security and AI, these are the two forces. And if there's a third, it's probably cloud, because I think we live in a multi-cloud world, some of it on-prem, some of it AWS, Azure, Google, Oracle, probably in that order. So, you know, the Andy Jassys, the Satya Nadellas, the Thomas Kurians, those folks are building great cloud businesses that are at scale. AWS, $220 billion. That's the world I lived mostly at VMware, but we need to bring their influence into how, you know, Cohesity should act. I feel very fortunate that at least, you know, two of them, AWS and Google, are investors in our company. We try to keep very good relationships with those clouds. So we have an ecosystem of players that we stay very close to that are in this world of cloud security AI.
And there will be a lot of business leaders listening around the world. I've been fortunate to see the briefing this morning as a member of the press, and I'll be writing about a lot of that stuff. But for business leaders, that their big focus right now is on return on investment on any new tech project and measurable difference, how we're moving things forward. Anything that you could share around your future roadmap, business priorities, and what they can expect from you?
I think we want to be the most iconic company in this space. You know, I mean, it goes by various different names. You could call it cyber resilience of data, data protection, data security, whatever it's called. We want to be the most iconic company that clearly is the market share leader. Now we are in that position. We weren't there before, but now we are. But that has the best customers and the best products. So I would love, you know, one day we'll have ads at airports, okay?
Yeah.
The ads at the airport to say, the biggest companies in the world rely on Cohesity for their cyber resilience. That would be, if we could celebrate our success through the biggest, pick your biggest bank, they rely on us. Your biggest retailer, they rely on us. Your biggest airline, they rely on us. Your biggest, I don't know, Department of Defense or civilian agency in the government or state, they rely on us. Your biggest hospital, they rely on us. That is how great companies were built, okay? I learned that at SAP, I learned that at VMware, and I think we have a chance to do that here. We already have some of the most iconic companies, but we're not done. We're only getting started, right? We're in the early days, 13,000 customers. I look at those logos, and when I have conversations with them, it's incredible the momentum I see from them. So we can keep that going. What we would tell each of them, my message to all of them is, listen, give us a call on how we can help you, right? We will dedicate, you know, morning, noon, night to keep those customers happy, engage with them. And every time we have a new customer join it, we bring a rollout of red carpet to them, make sure that they're successful, we put our best and brightest around them. I think that the culture we're teaching inside the company about a customer first means that engineers, they drop things to go help a customer. And when you do that, the engineers get better because they learn something about how their product is being used by an external customer. That's the culture we want to create internally. So, and then, you know, I think we also find ways by which we can make ourselves more efficient. You know, AI is going to change our internal process. I'll give you one example. Much of our support processes are a customer calling us saying, how do I do this? Okay. That, how do you do that is already written down in some document. You just need to find that document.
Yeah.
Who finds that for you? AI, right? So a robot can crawl and do a Gen AI search. Oh, yeah, I can find this document. Here's the document. It prepares a response, helps you send that to the customer. Or one day could send that to the customer themselves. Think how much more productive you made that support rep.
Yeah.
So we're starting to do that. AI is going to help engineers write better code. AI is helping our HR people understand the sentiment of all our employees. So we are implementers internally of some of the best AI capabilities to make our people more efficient. We're not looking to lay off people. We're looking to make our people more efficient.
And obviously, I've flown from the UK to be with you today. And before I came here, there's been a lot of big high street retailers that have been offline for literally weeks.
Oh, I know, the UK.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm curious, well, we're talking about, there's a lot of hype around AI, but cyber resilience is now front and center of things. Are you noticing a change in appetite and seeing more people come to you now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're at the junction of that. You know, us and a few other vendors who could do this because we have roots in building zero trust cyber resilient platform from the get-go. We were born for this type of era in the last 10, 12 years. We have a history of kind of focus on speed of cyber recovery and personnel at the company who know a thing or two about security. We can just build on top of that. So we don't try to do ambulance chasing, which is, okay, yes. You know what? Oh, these three retailers got hit. If in many cases we might be helping them already, but those conversations are confidential. But I can tell you, every large company that has had some issue internationally, we're likely for 80-90% helping them. Okay. Now, you want to make sure that you want to do this authentically. In other words, you know, we had a hospital that was very involved with it, and they're public about we were successful in recovering our data and not paying the ransom because of Cohesity. We're very careful not to say those things ourselves, because the customer, it's the customer's data and it's the customer's story. And if they're comfortable, but behind the scenes, I can tell you, in all of these key industries, financial services have got pretty good, you know, security defenses, but hospitals are getting attacked. School districts are getting attacked. Some of them are all public stories. Oil and gas infrastructure, retailers, you talked about those. And often the pattern of what those attacks are very similar. We study every one of those, a little bit like a doctor studies disease. And we drive a methodology of how in retail now we say, hey, listen, our theory, we haven't seen the full analysis of what happened with the three retailers, I think, in the UK, but it looks to be very similar in social engineered attacks to what we saw in the hotel chains in Las Vegas, right? Yeah. And this is what a doctor does. Oh, I've seen this disease before. It looks a lot like this, and you pattern match, and then you prescribe things. And, you know, from this, there's obviously going to be the medication or product that we can help you with, things like ours, but there's also going to be practice. Okay, for example, we all learn through, you know, the attacks in the Las Vegas hotels, and maybe even through this, a socially engineered, you know, cyber attack is where someone's calling into your support center, posing to be an employee, but it's actually a gangster.
Yeah.
Okay, how do you detect that? Okay, you just don't take the phone call without the voice. You get on a Zoom call to validate the person. Maybe you have them log in to the application to test if this is really right, and do it through some multi-factor authentication. Because when you get these phishing, it's a lot like a phishing email, right? Someone's calling you or sending you an email that's fake. You just don't respond to it. But when you get a phone call from someone masquerading as an employee, they're not really an employee. The poor support person may have thought it's real. Reset that password immediately, the person's in. Yeah. That's what happened in the hotel chain. So we get smarter now about socially engineered attacks. That's what a social engineered attack is. So, I mean, in one of the old ones, they came in through the HVAC system, because the air conditioning was on the internet and some virus was planted through the HVAC. So we're getting smarter about where, but the thing you learn about in cybersecurity is we have to write all the time. They have to write only once to get in. So this is again, a lot like disease. One error and you get the virus into country XYZ or whatever have you. So it's a very exciting field. And if you care about, you know, kind of keeping the world safe like we do, keeping the country safe, you know, world prosperity, world security, this is a great topic. And on the other front, if you care about, you know, how AI is going to transform the world, and it's happening in our lives. You know, my daughter is, you know, I'll tell you a short story, 30 seconds. She's studying physics, and I used to help her with physics just so I can refresh my own physics, and I wanted to be of help to her. One week I was on a business trip and I said, I'm not going to be available. Why don't you use this tool called ChatGPT? But don't cheat.
Yeah.
Do your answers and use ChatGPT to test your answers right. I come back from a business group and said, Dad, you've been displaced. I don't need you anymore. ChatGPT is like, I do my tests, And so I said, good. Okay. Now it doesn't mean I don't want to add value to her, But ChatGPT has got this figured out in a way to tutor her better than I could have. Yeah. So if she basically has the answer as a first draft, does it well, and her professor or teacher lets her use ChatGPT, some people don't, use it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, wait a minute, I took a long time to figure that. ChatGPT's done it in a few seconds. So I think if AI is transforming the lives of our kids, it better transform our own lives.
And I think that is a powerful moment to end on. As I said earlier in our conversation, I'll be adding that 5-minute video. But for anyone listening, wanting to keep up to speed with all announcements, events, and everything that you're doing, where would you like to point everyone?
Point at Cohesity.com, both our website and our LinkedIn and YouTube channels. Because that's usually where we publish a lot of content, website, and the LinkedIn channel and the YouTube channel. There's a lot there that you can get information on.
I've seen firsthand how busy you are today. When I got here, you were just coming out of your hands-on meeting, and you've gone straight into a press briefing, now talking to me. I just appreciate your time today. Thank you.
No, it's a pleasure. I always like doing this. Thank you for getting the word out of our company, and that means a lot to us because your voice carries to a lot more voices than we could probably on our own.
I think sitting down with Sanjay in the Cohesity offices, for me, felt like a masterclass in how vision, execution, and timing can all collectively reshape an entire market. From that Veritas acquisition to pioneering retrieval augmented generation for AI on backup data, Cohesity is no longer just a data protection player. It's building the next generation of data infrastructure with cyber resilience and AI right at its core.
I think what stood out to me most was how the company is balancing deep innovation, relentless customer focus, and in doing so, making migration seamless, and partnerships with giants like Nvidia and Microsoft all show how they are not only strategic, but forward-looking. So if you're thinking about how to future-proof your data environment while extracting real value from AI, hopefully this conversation offered you a clearer signal of where this industry is heading. If you've got anything you want to share, techblogwriteroutlook.com, LinkedIn, X, just at Neil C. Hughes. But that's it for today. So thank you for listening. As always, I'll return again very soon with another guest.